All right, we've been studying what the Bible says about. And last time that I was here, I guess that's been, I don't even know when that was. I was gone last week. It was the week before that vacation Bible school or something. I can't remember. It seems like it's been forever. But we're back. And we studied what the Bible says about prayer. And that's a big deal, prayer. A lot of people don't know a lot about prayer. But prayer is one of the greatest things that God's given us. They say a praying man is never a useless man. Prayer is a wonderful thing. The old saying is, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint on his knees. Turn every care into a prayer. That's a good one, too. Prayer. And so prayer is a wonderful thing, praying. And praying is the Christian's greatest privilege. Praying is the Christian's greatest privilege. Theology is dead without neology. That's a pretty good one, too. So prayer is such a wonderful thing. And so many people, prayer is available and so few people exercise it. We ought to spend time in prayer. Prayer is a big, big deal. And so anyway, last time we talked about when to pray. And that's, and the Bible talks about to pray without ceasing, and men ought always to pray. It tells you over there in Luke 18:1. I'm not going to go through all these again because we went through them. And then we talked about where to pray, if you remember that. And, you know, a lot of people think they come to the church house to pray. Well, that's a good place to pray, but so is your home. And so is school. I like those shirts that say, I broke a rule, I prayed in school. Well, really, that's not a rule breaker. Anybody can pray anywhere, and nobody can stop you from doing it. But back in the old days, they actually prayed as a class. A teacher would pray for their day and ask God's blessing on the day, which still should be permitted. I mean, why in the world would you not want people to pray and say, Lord, would you just bless our school today and keep us safe and watch over our kids? That'd be a good thing. But anyway, and the truth is, most of those teachers in our area are praying anyway. They may not be praying over their class audibly where they're going to get in trouble, but I promise you we got some praying teachers, and thank God for them. But anyway, where do you pray? You pray everywhere is where you pray, and we ought to spend time in prayer and pray anytime you get the chance. I told you about that little girl. She said, Daddy, is God dead? And he said, well, no, God's not dead. Why would you ask that? And she said, well, I just hadn't heard you talking to him in a long time. Oh, our kids ought to hear us praying. And we ought to teach our kids how to pray. It's so important to teach them how to pray. Sadie, our youngest one, a lot of times we'll eat a meal and we'll say, well, we're going to ask the blessing. And every now and then Sadie will say, I want to pray. And we'll say, okay. And she'll start it. She'll say, but you'll have to help me. And so she doesn't know what to say. And so we'll start it out for her, Heavenly Father. And she'll say, Heavenly Father, thank you for our food. And she'll say, thank you for our food. And we'll say, please bless our family. Please bless our family. And then we'll say, in Jesus' name. And she never repeats that part. Because she knows that's the end of the prayer. And so if you say, in Jesus' name, she'll go, amen. She'll end it right there. That's what you say, well, I wouldn't do that kind of stuff. Well, don't do it then. We're going to because we're teaching her to pray. You say, well, you're having to tell her what to say. That's okay. She's in the learning stage, and it's all right to teach kids how to pray. And I'm just glad she wants to. And we let them. We're all for it. Now, you might ask why to pray, and we talked about that last time. And you say, why do we pray? Well, we want a relationship with the Lord. That's why we pray. We pray for our children. We pray for our families. We pray for food. We pray for shelter. We pray for our country. Boy, does our country ever need prayer. We got to pray for it. We pray for the sick and unhealthy people. We got lots of folks that need prayer within our church. It's a big deal. I always thought, you know, that's one of the craziest things because you have prayer meeting every Sunday morning at 9:30, and that's usually the smallest meeting of any meeting you have. And you think, well, I know what it is. It's because they're not sick. If they're sick, they'd be here. But don't you think the people that are sick would like to have you praying for them? I don't ever understand that. That's one of the most important things that we can do as a church is pray for each other. Pray for each other. Anyway, and man, we don't take real long, but we take prayer requests up. You don't see us. We don't really do it on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. But, you know, somebody had a special prayer request and really need it, we'd do it. I mean, we're not against prayer. Don't get me wrong. We're not telling people we wouldn't take a prayer request. But we have a set-aside time. But it's too early for folks. You know, I understand how it is. Too hard. But you get in bad shape, it won't be so early. But anyway, or is one of your family members. There's an evangelist in Georgia that I know, and his wife started having seizures the other day. Healthy. I mean, they travel all over and preaching, singing, and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, they went and did some tests, and she has a brain tumor. So they're doing that. They're working on that, and it's awful, you know, to hear something like that. But man, you ought to see them on there telling how God's getting them through and how God's taking care of them. But you know what people are doing? They're praying, just like we heard about Olivia. We're praying is what we're doing. And the little girl, what's the little girl's name that just went up to the Mayo or wherever it was? Abby. Yeah, I pray for her every time I think about her. I pray for all these little kids every time I think about them. And we pray over them, ask God to help them. And that's what we want. And God does help, doesn't He? He does help. We pray for lost souls. Pray for our church. Pray for salvation. Pray for all kinds of things. Now, let me talk a little bit on how to pray tonight. How to pray. You know, it's amazing how many people don't know how to pray. You say, well, I don't really know how to pray. Well, that's okay. I'm going to tell you how to pray. And before I tell you how to pray, let me tell you how not to pray. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 6. I'll show you in the Bible. No matter what I think about it anyway. Let's see what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 6. A lot of people, they learn little prayers, and some religions have prayer books. And that'd be kind of a mess. They have these prayer books, and they have to pray out of these prayer books, so that's how it is, you know. And they have a prayer for every situation. It's kind of like that old boy that was out in Old West, and him and his buddy, and their religion had a prayer book. And anyway, the one, he got bit by a rattlesnake. He goes, oh. He said, pray for me. He said, let me get the book out. Man, he started turning. He said, you got to hurry. The venom's getting to me. He said, just a minute. Man, he began to turn. And finally, he said, I'm sorry, there's no prayer for a rattlesnake bite. I guess you're just going to have to die. I'm glad it's not that way, aren't you? I'm glad we don't have to go to a prayer book and find all that kind of stuff. I'm thankful that we can pray anytime over anything. You know, people pray over silly things, and people say, man, that's kind of silly, but it's not silly to them. And it might be a big thing to them. You say, well, how do we pray? Well, let me tell you how not to pray. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll start in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Well, how's the hypocrites do it? For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. It's not wrong that they prayed in the synagogues. It's not wrong that they prayed in the street. What was wrong is they're praying to be seen. Their motive was wrong. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. You say, what's the reward? Attention. But thou, and there's people that way. I went out with a preacher one time. He said, let's go eat lunch. And we went out here to Don's, and he's from some other town, and he's eating a buffet or whatever they had at the time, and got through there, and he said, let me lead in prayer. And he goes, our Father which art in heaven, oh my God, may you have. And he was just praying. I thought, man, I'm hungry. You can catch up on that some other time. We don't ask people to pray when we're eating that they need to catch up on their prayer life. When we're praying to eat, we're ready to eat. Somebody say amen. It's quick and fast is what it is. I thought, here he is, and everybody in the building is looking at us. I was thinking, oh, good grief. Now they think I'm crazy like he is, you know. And you say, what was he doing? He wanted everybody to look at him. It's for attention is what it was. You know, you can pray and never even open your mouth. You can pray in your heart and pray. God's not hard of hearing. You can pray anywhere, anytime. But anyway, you know, it's just, you say, what was that for? Attention. You just think about me. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, I always like to go with somebody and we go out to eat. And when they take a bite of their food, I'll say, now, brother, do you mind leading us in prayer? I'm just messing with you. Just have a good time. People always talk about at the Mexican restaurant, do you eat? Are you pre-chip or post-chip? Do you eat before or after? Sometimes we're mid-chip. So, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, you know, this is what I want to show you. Use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now notice what it says. Don't use vain repetitions. You ever been to a church? And they say, okay, let's all have the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. And it's in the Bible and that's good. And that's great. But really, He didn't put that in there for you to repeat every Sunday. It's just an example is what that is. It's an example. You say, well, do you think everybody does that's bad? No, I don't think everybody does that's bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that's not the purpose of that. When we pray, we ought to pray from the heart. And it doesn't tell you not to pray in repetition either. You know, a lot of people think that they can't pray in, well, that means I can't pray in repetition. He didn't say that. He said don't pray in vain repetition. Vain is emptiness. It's just repeating the same thing over and over just to say you prayed. You're sick and you got a problem, or your family member's got a problem, or your child is wayward and out there and doing things wrong, and they've gotten away from the Lord, or they're going down the wrong way. If you're a parent, you're burdened over them. That's all there is to it. You don't want them to go that way because you don't want to see them get hurt. You don't want to see them get put in jail. You don't want to see them get on drugs and things like that. But if you say, well, and a mother that loves her children, she's going to pray over that child. It doesn't matter if that child is 18 or 58 or 68, if she's still alive, and she's going to pray over him multiple times a day. You know why she's going to do that? Because her heart wants to do that. It's on her heart. She's not praying in vain repetition. She's praying from the heart. It's heavy on her heart, so she's praying. That's what she's doing. When Chris called me the day that they found out about Olivia, that she had that mass, I prayed for her every few minutes. I'm talking about for a long time. And every day. Every day. And multiple times a day. I didn't tell everybody to pray. But every time it even crossed my mind, I prayed. And you know what? I guarantee you I didn't pray near as much as her mom and daddy did. You say, well, they did wrong. No, they did right. And we were all doing right. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're not praying vain repetition. We're praying from the heart because we cared. It's a big deal to us. That's what we're doing. And God wants you to do that. God wants you to talk to Him. And He wants us to spend time with Him. And so just keep that in mind. People say, well, I don't want to bother the Lord. You're not bothering Him. You think you could really bother Him because you're going to Him with your needs? He wants you to come to Him with His need, with your needs. He can handle your needs. And He wants you to rely on Him. If you're going to rely on Him, you got to pray and talk to Him. That's all there is to it. And so don't you stop praying or quit praying or pray any less. And just because you're going through it, your husbands and wives going through it, pray. You're going through it with your kids, pray. You got health problems, pray. You can't overdo it. Just go help yourself and pray. Anytime it's on your heart, the Lord wants you to do that. And all of that, we ought to pray with humility. So we don't want to pray in vain repetition. We want to pray from the heart. But we want to pray in humility. I'm not going to turn there, but just like in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I know it's Old Testament, but I still believe that it applies today. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. You got to be humble in that respect. And realizing that we're weak and God's strong, and we need God more than God needs us. That's what prayer is about. And then we're to pray boldly. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. You say, boldly? I thought you said humbly. Well, there's two ways. You are humble, but you can be bold too in the sense, well, I'll show you. Hebrews chapter 4. And when I say boldly, I don't mean arrogantly. That's not what I mean. Not arrogantly. Hebrews chapter number 4. All right, Hebrews chapter 4, look in verse 16, great verse in the Bible. Let us, when I taught Hebrews, I showed all the different let us. There's let us in this way. Let us therefore come, let us, let all. There's a lot of verses that start out, let us. And I called them heads of lettuce. There's a whole bunch of them in there. Well, I didn't know if I had it written right there, but I've got it written somewhere. Anyway, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. That's for praying purposes. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Sometimes we just need to come boldly. Boldly in the sense that we're not arrogant, but boldly that we can go right in the front door. We can talk to God because He's our Father. We're His child. You don't have to, you know, when you call your parent up or talk to your parents, you talk to them because out of love. You know they love you. They're not ready to just strike you down every time you talk to them. Kids ask stupid questions sometimes. Sometimes over and over and over and over and over. But anyway, that's how we are as Christians. And we got to pray the Lord and talk to Him. And we do some silly stuff. You know, we usually worry over things that don't matter anyway. And now there's plenty of things that do matter. But it seems like we let little things bother us when they're not even really that big a deal. We sit there and get our minds messed up. You know, that's so easy to do, isn't it? And that affects every single one of us, all of us. But some things aren't in your control. And so what you do is you just take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I have no control over this. Would you help us? Lord, it's out of my hands. I'm coming to you, and we want you to take care of us. And we're bold in the sense that we know He can take care of it. Aren't you glad you've got a God that's not sitting there and saying, well, I'm just limited in what I can do. He's not limited. He's unlimited in what He can do. That's what's so wonderful about it. He's kind. He's loving. He's our Heavenly Father. And we can pray boldly, and the Bible tells you to. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. So that's a wonderful thing. Go ahead and do it. And aren't you glad you can go straight to Him? You don't have to come talk to some priest or whatever. And there, you know, a lot of religions think you have to go to a priest. And they say, well, I'll go to him so he can pray over me because I can't go straight to the Lord. That's not how it works. When you get saved, you can talk straight to Him. Lost people talk straight to Him. But you don't have to go talk to somebody in a little booth, you know, in a little phone booth and confess all your sins to Him. You go ahead and confess them to God. He already knows about them. That's who you confess them to. Go to the Lord and talk to Him about them. You don't have to do that. Well, if I don't make it up there to the church and He don't pray for me. Listen, a preacher ought to be willing to pray for anybody. And we are willing to pray for people. And we've got people in this church that's willing to pray for anybody. Men and women and children. And that's a wonderful thing. But the truth is, you can go straight to God. You don't have to. And not only that, did you know in the Scripture, after you get saved in the New Testament, that you're a priest? You don't have to have a priest like they had in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, those priests back there, especially those prophets of Baal, they wore black garments and was priests. You don't have to do that. That's not even part of what we do. Man, everybody, you can be a man, woman. In the Old Testament, they had to be men of a certain tribe, the tribe of Levi, to be priest. In the New Testament, it don't have to be men. It can be men, women, boys, girls. Makes no difference. If you're saved, you're a priest, the Bible says. And you can go straight to the Lord. And that's a great privilege. Now, something else. We can show reverence when we pray. And so take your Bible and go to Ephesians now, back to the left. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to show you some ways they prayed in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 3. Here's Paul, one of the greatest Christians to ever live. Look what he says here. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14. For this cause, for this reason, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and he's going to pray. You say, what did he do? Bowed his knees. Then there's nothing wrong with a person getting on their knees to pray. And you say, well, why do they do that? It shows reverence. It shows reverence to the Lord when you get on your knees. And that's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to do it that way. So I've had double knee replacements and my knees are so bad. You don't have to get on your knees and pray. But you know, sometimes you want to get on if things get bad enough. I mean, you get down there and do whatever you got to do. But I'm not going to turn there, but you might write down 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22, where they stood and prayed. I can show you places where the Lord stood and prayed. You mean, you say you can stand and pray. People do it all the time. You can stand and pray. There's nothing wrong with that. You can kneel and pray. You can stand and pray. Things get bad enough, you'll go down farther than that, though. Look in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew, the Lord's getting ready to die on the cross. And He is our supreme example, of course. He's the Son of God. And Matthew chapter 26, when He knows He's about to be betrayed and about to be crucified and beaten and all the things that's going to happen to Him, look what it says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. I mean, He's in agony. It's bad because He's about to go through it. He's about to be tortured, as a matter of fact. Look, Matthew chapter 26, look at verse 38. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little further, and look at this, and fell on His face and prayed. So also, that guy got on his face and prayed. That's okay, the Lord did that. That's not inappropriate then. You get a situation like that, there's nothing wrong with that. You can get on your knees and pray. You can stand and pray. Or you can lay flat on your face and pray. And probably everybody's going to be in a position sometime in their life where they're going to be that way. Just the way it is. I've had things happen to me years ago, you know, things. And early on in ministry, I've been outside praying in the middle of the night, barefooted in the woods. You get into a mess, you know. You pray is what you do. You pray. You don't worry about stuff. You just pray. But anyway, that's how He prayed. I'll show you something else that you might find interesting. You probably know, but you may not know where it's at in the Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now watch what it says here. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying. We're talking about the praying part. We're not going to worry about the prophesying. But either way, having his head covered dishonoreth his head. You ever heard people say, well, you need to take your hat off, men, when you pray? You say, that's Bible. We'll take our hat off when we pray. That's right. So I'll leave mine on. We'll leave it on, but you're dishonoring what you're doing. You're supposed to take it off. The Bible tells you to. It doesn't tell women to. It tells men to. And so we're to take our hats off. I'll take it a step further. I think you ought to take it off for the Pledge of Allegiance, too. No wonder nobody's watching the Olympics. People sick of it. They're sick of all their stuff, their little games that they're playing. Stand up for the flag, but you ought to take your hat off when you pray. Take your hat off. You say, why do it? Because the Bible tells you to. Look at verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. It's talking about, in the context is in prayer now. It's not saying you can't wear a hat, guys. For as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. And it talks about the woman actually wearing a hat and things like that. In the old days, women wore hats a lot to church. And still, from time to time, they do. There's nothing wrong with that. But they don't have to. They want to. That's their business. That's what I'm saying. But a man, he ought to take his hat off. That's just the way it is. He ought to take his hat off, and it's the right thing. If you're praying, no matter where you're at, you ought to take your hat off. You ought to take it off. And I think that's good. A lot of folks, you'll see, you'll come up on a funeral procession. And I know, I can't even talk. Anyway, and they'll take their hats off. I think that's a great sign of respect. I think that's right. We pull off to the side of the road, and you go up north, people don't even pull over. They'll pass you. They'll pass a funeral. Why can't I talk tonight? I don't know. Pray for me. Amen. But anyway, they'll pass the hearse and everything else. And I'm not going to tell you what ought to be done to somebody like that. But anyway, you probably know. It ought to be bad, though. But hey, we ought to have more respect is what we should have. We ought to have respect. And we ought to pray. We used to watch the Dukes of Hazzard when he was a kid. When General Lee would thump the horn, we used to take our hats off and have a tear coming down our eye face. There you go. You say, what about pray? Well, we got to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to take our hats off. We can be on our knees. We can stand. We can do all kinds of things when we pray. Now, how to pray? Well, how do we pray? Turn back to Matthew chapter 6 again. Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, he gives you an example. It's not really the prayer to pray, and it's not, they call it the Lord's Prayer, but really it's not even the Lord's Prayer, because he's just teaching people how to pray. It wasn't the prayer that he prayed, is what I'm saying. It's just an example. And the example there was really to those Jewish people. That's a whole different ballgame. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But he prayed in John 17. You want to see how he prayed when he was going through it? It tells his prayer, word for word. Well, in Matthew chapter number 6, he does tell you this. And he says in verse number 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." How do you pray? "Our Father." Now, let me just say, you ought to start out your prayer by addressing the one you're speaking to. You might say, "Father, dear Father, Heavenly Father," whatever it might be, that's who we're praying to. And so if you ever pray, you ought to pray to the Father. That's who the Bible tells us to pray to, and that's how we ought to pray. Not only do you pray to the Father, but you pray through the Son. Take your Bible and go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's all in here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. You ever notice when we get through praying, we always pray in Jesus' name? You say, why do you do that? Because it's biblical. If you don't pray in Jesus' name, you're not praying right. So I prayed in the name of the Lord or Christ's name or whatever. That's okay. You know what I mean? But you're still praying through Him. Or I've heard people say, and I pray all this in the name of your dear Son. That's all right. That's good. Everybody prays, says it a little bit differently. That's okay. But you're to pray in Jesus' name. They had a kick there for a while. And a lot of these high schools, not these right here, because ones around here, we've got too many Christian people. But a lot of these high schools, even in the South, I heard they had a big deal. And they had the valedictorian, not the valedictorian, but whoever prayed. I don't know who all does the prayer. But anyway, we've had a lot of kids from our church pray and other churches pray. And most of them usually do a really good job in Walnut Ridge and Hoxie and these other schools around. But anyway, they'd have them pray, and they'd make you write out the prayer. And they say, you can pray, but you can't use Jesus' name. Now, how can you tell somebody to pray and not use Jesus' name? Number one, it's none of your business how somebody prays. And number two, they're not talking to you, they're talking to God. Why pray if you're not going to do it right? Do it right. So if you're going to pray, do it right. And you see that. And so there's a lot of that going on. I heard a guy pray here a while back, and he prayed, and there's Jewish people present. And I was very disappointed with him, because he decided not to use the name Jesus or God's Son or any of that. He just skipped that out, and he just ended it with amen. And this guy's a Baptist. And I thought, you little coward. I realize there's Jewish people there, and we're to pray for those people. But you pray right. You got to pray right. You can't go against your own religion or against the Bible just because it'd be offensive. We're not going to go out of our way to be offensive to people. We're not trying to be offensive. But the truth is that the Bible offends you. We can't help it. If I bow my head and go out to eat up here, and I'm at Pizza Den, and I decide to go to Pizza Den, and I'm sitting there by myself, and I want to bow my head in silent prayer and thank the Lord for my food, and if that offends you, you're just going to get offended. Because I got to still do what's right. It's not that I set out to offend anybody. It's that I have a relationship with God, and I'm doing what I've got to do between me and Him. So that offends me. Well, it offends me if you don't pray. How's that to you? Right back at you, buddy. Put that in your pipe and smoke it for a little while. Amen. If Willie was smoking, it'd be some marijuana. Y'all didn't hear my marijuana story Sunday, did you? Some of you did, some didn't. Anyway, I ran up on a bunch of marijuana in Texas. So what'd you do with it? Nothing. I left it alone. Didn't touch it. I'm not like Bill Clinton. I didn't inhale. I didn't even smoke it. Now, Robbie, he was having some kind of problem. I don't know if he got a hold of it or not. For medicinal purposes. No, he didn't either. But you saw it, didn't you? Yeah. It was there. You just stay away from it. Where in the world am I at? 1 Timothy chapter 2. So you're in Walnut Ridge, Arkansas. Oh, yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Did I read this? Verse 5. "For there is one God." That's pretty plain. "And there is not a bunch of gods. And one mediator." A mediator is kind of like a go-between. Between God and men. You say, who is it? The man Christ Jesus. You ever watch them play football and they say, they're throwing a Hail Mary. You say, what's that mean? It means they're throwing up a prayer. Because Catholics pray to Mary. You say, they do? Sure they do. They don't. I'm not trashing Catholics, but saying they'd tell you right now they do. Like, Hail Mary this, Hail Mary that. They're praying to Mary is what they're doing. Well, let me tell you something. I don't mean to be ugly or rude, but Mary ain't going to help you. And when Mary was here, she prayed to God. The first time, the last time she was in the Bible, she was found in Acts chapter number 1. It's the last time she's mentioned. She was in a prayer meeting. And nobody's praying to her. She's praying with them. And that's a good thing. That's how we ought to be. We ought to pray to God. You say, you pray to the Father, but you pray through the Son. Because He's our go-between. He's our mediator. It says it right there. There's only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You say, well, what's that got to do with praying? The whole context is praying. Look in verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. All those things are about prayers. Every single one of them are. And then we're to pray for our government leaders because we can live a peaceable life and all that. And then we're to pray in verse 4 for men to be saved. But in verse 5, it tells you you pray through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you pray to God the Father, you pray through the Son. And you pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. If there wasn't a Holy Spirit, your prayer couldn't get above the ceiling. But thank God the Spirit's real. I'm glad that we have the Spirit of God that can help us, take care of us, and help us in our prayer life and everything else. That's how we ought to be praying. Pray to the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Often I'll pray, always, dear Heavenly Father, is how I usually start, and then I'll get in and I'll just pray. You say, what do you have to have a fancy prayer. People think they have to have a fancy prayer. You don't have to have a fancy prayer. Just pray from the heart. Nobody cares about a fancy prayer. That's not going to get you any more points with the Lord than just praying from the heart. You're going to get more points for praying from the heart. That's what He cares about. And so, I don't know the right words and all that. Well, what's on your heart? Well, I've got this job interview and I've got... Well, then tell the Lord. Say, Lord, Heavenly Father, I need some help. I've got some this going on or that going on. You know all about it, but I'm just venting to you. Lord, I need some help with this. Lord, we got this job. I don't know how we're going to get it done, but we need some people to work for us, or I need to go to work, or whatever it might be. Lord, I've got that doctor's appointment. You know it's coming up, and I'm going to have those tests. And Lord, would you do something about it? Would you help me with that? Give me peace. Help my mind. Man, He can do it. Say, well, Lord, I appreciate everything, and we thank You, and I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. You close your prayer and amen. You say, how do it? That's how they did it in the Bible. You will look in the Bible and see how they pray. They always said amen at the end. That's when it's over. That's how we ought to be then. So we pray that way. I may have told you this, but Walnut Ridge's high school, Hoxie's high school, Weston, graduation, he prayed. And he comes up to me tonight at church and asked me for any tips. I said, you'll do all right. You'll do a good job. He said, any tips? I said, just make sure you pray in Jesus' name. And he did. Did a good job. And then at the Walnut Ridge graduation, Haley Jensen is her name, and she prayed. And she's got a real country voice. I liked it. I mean, I like country voice. That's better than a Yankee voice. I don't know. Anyway, and she did an outstanding job. I made sure I went and found her and told her to. She just did a really good job. And she got done. She prayed in Jesus' name, did good. It's great. That's what you're supposed to do. You know what they did? They did what they're supposed to do. And they prayed right. That's how they pray. I go to some of these places, and they get in these things, and it just drives you crazy, you know. And I was preaching somewhere, and they said, we're going to have this other pastor come and pray before he preaches. And you know, when they start using words like benediction and things like that, you know it's going to be drier than cracker juice. And so anyway... And convocation and all. And he gets up to pray, and he's got this piece of paper. I look over there, and he's got this thing written out. And it's the biggest words you've heard in your life. I'm thinking, well, I guess he thinks God doesn't know our small words, so he's going to make sure he's trying to impress everybody in the building. So when I got ready and I closed in prayer, I just pray like I talk. You say, well, that guy that didn't sound anything like his prayer. I didn't care. I didn't care if it impressed him or not. I wasn't talking to him. I was talking to God, so I was talking to him. I always wanted, and when he got done, he prayed, and when he finished, he just said, amen. He didn't even pray in Jesus' name. I go, good grief, man. You're a minister. You ought to know better than that. But he was so worried about everything just so and just right that he couldn't even pray right, you know. And so anyway, you just wonder. It takes all kinds, I guess, doesn't it? It takes all kinds. But that's the world we live in. The main thing is, you say, well, I don't know if I'm doing it right or wrong. Let me just say this. The main thing is pray. Pray. We need people praying is what we need. And you know what? If you're not doing it exactly right, and you mean to do it right, I'm pretty sure God will forgive you over that. I don't think he's going to get too mad at you. Just keep praying. See what God might do. I had that bad wreck when I first got into ministry, and I mean, the Lord's about to kill me. And say, so you're going to, I didn't want to preach, and I ran from him for 2 years, 2.5 years, about to kill me. And, you know, sometimes I don't like going where I'm going, but I remember that day. And so I hang in there and preach and do what I'm supposed to do. But anyway, I remember praying. I was in that hydroplane going in circles. I said, Lord, God help me, God help me, God help me. He said, well, that's not how you pray. It is when you're in a situation like that. You pray whatever. He heard it because I'm still here and alive. Amen. You got to do what you got to do sometimes. All right, we're going to stop there, and we'll call on somebody to show us how to pray here in a minute.